Hi, I'm David Astill, host of Evenings on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, and I want to share with you the latest instalment of our Top 5 film segment, where I was joined by BBC sports broadcaster Andrew Cotter, who's also the author of Olive, Mabel and Me, Life and Adventures, with two very good dogs.
Okay, we'll start something nostalgic and a classic, On the Waterfront, which I love. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a film of sort of regret and dashed hopes and the feeling that many people will have in their life that, you know, they could have been somebody. And it's beautifully shot. You lose yourself in old films at a sort of different pace as well, you know, black and white and whatever. And Marlon Brando at his very best. But it's just, I think it's just a beautiful film. Of, as I said, that little bit of regret of what might have been in my life if things had taken a different turn, but then, you know, finding a solution and finding something at the very end to offer a bit of redemption.
Is it not drawing too long a bow to, you know, dovetail that theme with what also is is the very best of sport, where, you know, any particular contest could be a tale of redemption or a tale of unlikely triumph?
Yeah, well, exactly. And you think of Terry Molloy, and you know, his you know, the sort of almost unsaid, unspoken thought of what might have been a great career in boxing. And yeah, there are in sport, it is, you know, it's a matter of success and failure, and I suppose that's what the film is about as well. So it's for every great success story that we see in sports, you know, for every champion, there are 1,000 others who have come so close but not quite made it, and or have tried so hard to pursue their dreams and have just fallen short and have had to go down some other path. So yeah, I'm sure there's an element of that in it.
Andrew, what is your second film, and why did it make this noble list?
Oh, goodness, okay. Let's go to Local Hero, which is a Bill Forsyth film. Actually, no, I'm going to scratch. Sorry, Local Hero, you've gone.
Late scratching in the top five from Andrew Cotter.
A late scratching, as all of the Mabel are doing at the moment. It's an early scratching. Gregory's Girl. So I'll stay with Bill Forsyth. So Gregory's Girl was just before Local Hero. Gregory's Girl is this great coming of age film. But the fact that it was very Scottish, you know, it was set in a Scottish school. And it was just this. It had this charm about it, as Bill Forsyth films did have. He sort of came up with these lovely homespun sort of Scottish films, and Local Hero, I suppose, was his last big success, and then Hollywood didn't quite work out for him. But of that moment in the early 80s where he first of all started with tiny budgeted films using local children from stage schools as Comfort and Joy and films like that, and then Gregory's Girl really was this breakout film, and it was just, I don't know, the humour in it, the light.
What's the storyline? I don't know.
Sorry, Gregory's Girl is... Gregory's Girl is John Gordon Sinclair. So he's Gregory, and it's as I talk about a coming of age film. It's all set in this secondary school in Scotland, and it's about him trying in a very awkward and gauche teenager way of finding love. It's at that age where, you know, the hormones are running wild, and eventually he does get the girl. It's not quite the girl that he thought he was going to get, but it's just the awkwardness and the humour therein that is just superb.
You grew up in Troon, up there in sort of up near Ayr, I suppose. It's the home of golf.
Just north there, yeah. No, absolutely, yeah. We're not too far from, there's sort of two real hotbeds of golf in Scotland, and the whole country's a hotbed of golf. But Ayrshire on the west coast, where Troon is, and then Fife on the east coast, where St Andrews is.
Let's move on to film number three. What's the film?
What shall we go to now? Trading Places. Mm-hmm. That's because in the 1980s, that was a sort of formative years for me as a teenager. And you watch all these films, and whether it's you've got John Hughes films or John Landis films, and they were sort of the films that shape you, these American films that you just lose yourself in. But Trading Places was and is brilliant. Again, you know, we talk about the class system in America, but it's observations on American aspiration and class and privilege and switching that around. And Eddie Murphy at his very best with Dan Aykroyd. I could watch that film again and again, if even just for Eddie Murphy's little side looks to the camera and breaking the fourth wall. It was just brilliantly scripted, beautifully done, just a wonderful film.
John Landis. And again, I can see parallels with the sort of reversal of fortune that is in that film as much as there is in A Fine Contest. But I sense that you're trading places with the films that are in front of you. You've got a, like, you've got this sort of shifting 10 and you're just picking the five on the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to go, I mean, there are some dark films on there as well. Midnight Cowboy, I was going to put on there, but I didn't. But I do like some darkness and some forlorn despair in there as well.
I'm talking here. Andrew Cotter is my guest, BBC sports broadcaster and the author of Olive, Mabel and Me. Olive and Mabel being his two precious Labradors that have featured in some viral videos in 2020 and have got so many of us through what's been a totally arduous year. Andrew, it's what have you got for number four?
Oh, no, sorry, you must have cut out there. I apologize. I didn't realize I was talking over you. That's the cardinal sin in commentary as well, if you talk over somebody. So if that's what you heard, that's terrible.
No, my goodness, I apologize.
Right, I am going to go for, I was going to go for something bleak again, but we'll save some bleakness to the end. Have I said Trainspotting? Again, I'm going quite a Scottish theme here, but Trainspotting, I just love it. Trainspotting is brilliant. And again, it was while I was at university and I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do. And then you get these giddy ideas that, oh, I'm good. Do you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be Ewan McGregor. Look at it. Look at, that's the life, setting out on a career in acting. But Trainspotting is dark, but it's funny as well. Irvine Welsh's novel, transposed to film so successfully. I mean, it was a huge hit, but it was just the pace of it from the opening title sequence with Spud and Renton running down Princess Street with a camera following. We reenacted that actually. The music. We reenacted that for a little clip previewing a rugby match. I think it was Scotland against England. And so I ran down Princess Street and I was dropping stuff all over the place and shoppers were looking at me. And then I rolled over a car bonnet as I went down the steps and I was like, honest to goodness, the things we did to try and set up a rugby match. But I love that film.
Well, that's just as close as you got to being Ewan McGregor anyway, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still a long distance away.
And you studied at French and philosophy. So you obviously had a very definite plan as a young man.
That's the point. I had no plan whatsoever. That's what, if you find someone doing an arts degree of French and philosophy, that person has no clue what they want to do. Take it from me. So I had no idea. I just knew that, you know, you were supposed to go to university. And I thought that studying French, I saw the ratio of males to females in the modern languages course. I thought that's the one for me. And also philosophy, well, that's going to make me appear more deep and meaningful to said females. None of this worked, of course, but it seemed like a good idea at the time. I knew that languages was kind of the way I was going to head in, because that was more of a forte certainly than anything mathematical or scientific. So I enjoyed my time at university immensely and went to Bordeaux for a year and wasted my time there. So anyway, it was great fun.
So what was the watershed that led you to broadcasting?
I still had no idea. Once I graduated, I still didn't have an idea what I wanted to do. So I was working as a waiter for a year in a cocktail bar when I met you. I was working as a waiter and, I was working in this restaurant in Glasgow, which was a bit of a media hangout. And you'd see all these people come in. You'd say, I recognise that person. There's Stephen Fry coming in. There's Mick Jagger come in one night, which is, well, I was giddy with excitement. But I thought, well, I should really try and do something with my love of language, and broadcasting seems to be a way to go. But I actually applied for a written journalism job and a broadcasting journalism job and got offered them both and took the broadcasting route. And I had a love of sport as well. I was hugely into golf and rugby and athletics and all such things. So it was, I fell into my job. As so many people do, they fall into their job and then discover that they really enjoy it and they might have an aptitude for it. And so it just kind of went from there.
Number five on your list, Andrew Cotter. Mm-hmm. What is the fifth film?
Okay. I've got a choice of two.
No, you don't. You've got one.
What different. Is... No, but I'm going to narrow it down from these two.
All right.
So there's a French film called La Haine. 1995 Hate, which is just, and again, that was, I think I'd just come back from France, so I was perhaps trying to appear more deep and meaningful again than I actually am, but it is a dark and a beautiful film and quite disturbing, but it's just, it's got a powerful message at its heart as well of life in the banlieue of Paris. But anyway, I'm scratching that line, gone, despite how beautiful and dark and disturbing it is. So I'm going to go for something silly at the end on my love of dogs, Up. The animated film Up, which is just, you know, don't look down on animated films as any lower art form. Up is absolutely outstanding. It's just, and it captures Doug the dog, it captures perfectly. And Ed Asner is wonderful as the rather curmudgeonly elder gentleman in it. But if you want to just laugh at something, and if you love dogs, then you must have seen Up anyway. But just
you know, I watched it with my daughter, and it was one of those moments where we both just absolutely, you know, we were pretty much, you know, we needed to change our clothing. We were just rolling around crying. When those Dobermans suddenly had the altered voice box, it's still one of the funniest scenes.
And the dogs just running riot and then being offered a bit. I love you temporarily. But also the first 20 minutes of that film, maybe not 20 minutes, it's beautiful and it's poignant as well, and it makes you cry at the start. I mean, I watched it first of all on a plane. I think you cry more on watching films on planes than you do. You'll cry at anything on a plane. I think there's a scientific reason behind that, someone told me. But anyway, I cried watching that and then just laughed uproariously for the rest of it. So it's just a beautiful film.